Today on Real Radio.
Gee, I don't know if you can trust in the Bible. It's incredible. And right here, may you be famous in Bethlehem. Do you realize if it wasn't for this passage, Bethlehem would blow away and be a zero, because its only source of income is tourism. Because of what's on your lap right now. Incredible.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We're looking at the final chapter of this four-chapter narrative that tells us about Ruth and Boaz meeting and falling in love. The text is also quite revealing in the area of Jewish customs of the time, which gives us a greater understanding of the entirety of Scripture. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Final Preparations.
Joseph, who's, you know, Joseph and Mary, when Rome issues a decree, he's got to go back to where? Bethlehem. All because of what's taking place here at this city gate of this town, Bethlehem. See how God's at work? He's at work right now in your life. I don't think so. Yes, he is. In fact, I have found out in my life, when I don't think God's working, he's working the most. Now, please remind me that I just said that. Because when I'm in that condition, nobody loves me. God doesn't even love me. You know what? Chances are he's the closest and he's whispering the loudest to me. I love you. All is against me. I've been forsaken. It's not exactly true. We went to Mount Carmel where Elijah was at. Remember when he killed the prophets? In this incredible show of awesome power, he challenges the false prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth, and read the fine print. He kills 850 of them total. Can you imagine? Line them up. Takes them down to the brook, and all the people turn on the false prophets, and they hold them, and Elijah kills every one of them because they're false prophets. And this man in his moment of glory for the God of Israel slays all the false prophets, and then somebody gets a FedEx or an email over to Jezebel. Elijah just killed all your prophets. Well, you know what? I'm going to shred that guy. By this time tomorrow, I'm going to absolutely have his head on a platter. I'm going to kill that man. What does Elijah do? I'm Elijah, the prophet of God. No, he runs into a cave and he starts crying. There's a woman after me. There's a woman after me. And he says, God, take my life. That's why the New Testament says Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are. Take my life, take my life. And God says, Elijah, what are you doing whining here? Stand up, will you? I'm with you. You go back there and tell that woman a thing or two. No, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with you. Now, this is radical, okay? You might be sitting here this morning saying, I'm not even a Christian. I don't even believe God exists. Well, he's with you anyway. Oh, yeah? Well, if he's with me, have him show himself to me. Oh, he will. Just have your eyes open. Why the shoe bit? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, really, about the shoe. It's recorded in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. But it's how it was done. But God didn't say to Moses, the 11th commandment will be take off your shoe and do this thing. The Jews believe in three passages of Scripture that result in this. Based upon Leviticus and Deuteronomy, they quote three other passages. Jot them down because it's kind of neat what they mean, to take off the shoe. In Genesis 13:17, the Scripture says, arise and walk through the land, its length, its width, for I have given it to you. Okay? Walk through the land. the Jewish mind thinks that you need to have sandals to walk. Believe me, you do. So they cite this passage. I got this from a Jewish mind, so I'm sharing some Jewish insight with you here. So act impressed, okay? Deuteronomy 11:24. Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the western sea shall be your territory. That's the Mediterranean. Where your foot goes. Joshua 1:3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give it to you, just as I have said to Moses. So this is their thought. Authority was given by God for the Jewish people to walk through the land to take the land. The association with walking is connected with the foot. Now watch this. This is really amazing. Are you ready? The authority is in the sandal. In verse 8, when it says, therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. That man took off his sandal and handed it to Boaz. This was a serious thing because the meaning of it is, I refuse to what? Walk on the land that was due to Naomi and Ruth. Are you with me? The man takes off his shoe and he says, I forfeit the land. You can have the land. But in doing that, it's a legal transaction regarding that shoe that all that is connected to the land, I give up also. And that meant Ruth. So now, Boaz legally, before 10 witnesses, has got Naomi's inheritance. Listen carefully. He's got Elimelech's inheritance, Mahlon's and Chilion's, and Ruth's. Sad to say, do you notice a name missing? Those of you who are real sharp and awake this morning, had a little coffee before service. It's sad. There's a woman's name missing from the deal. Orpah. Orpah's missing. Remember, she stayed back in Moab. How sad. If she would have come, would she have inherited some wealth? Yeah, she would have. Well, would Boaz have married her too? No, not exactly. He would have maybe found a husband for her, but she would have been well off. Her name is missing because she chose not to go with the people of God. You ought to think about that the next time you think, and I think about ditching fellowship. You ever think about that? I don't think I'll go today. I mean, you're going to feel that way tomorrow. The human nature is the human nature. You get up in the morning and it's, oh, hey, listen. The Lord is in our fellowship. When we fellowship one with another, jot it down. I think it's Malachi 3:16. It's been years since I've looked at that verse. But Malachi 3:16, I think, tells us that the Lord, or 15, tells us that when we speak one to another about the Lord, that the Lord listens in. And he writes what we're talking about down in his book of remembrance. Isn't that cool? Every time we fellowship and we say, praise the Lord, man. You know what God did? God goes, what are they saying? He writes it down in the book of remembrance. Isn't that neat? The Bible tells us that we should fellowship. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible warns us not to forsake the assembling together in fellowship, as some do. And some even fall from faith because of it. They stop fellowshipping. Well, you know, and I don't know how you are, but if I get out of practice of doing something, it's easy then not to do it anymore. Do you know what I mean? Boy, you know, we meet people and you talk to them and you say, oh, you know, you're a believer? Yeah, where do you go to church? Well, I don't anymore. You know, I just kind of got out of it. Well, you need to be going back. Well, you know, I know I'm going to heaven. Oh, I'm sure you are. That's not the point. You need to be fellowshipping, making an effort to fellowship. We're strengthened one by another in fellowship. We need to be together. It's important to the Lord, and it blesses us. Orpah had missed the whole deal. So now this wonderful legal transaction takes place in front of all these witnesses. Verse 10. Oh man, this is a verse that Boaz had prayed about for so long. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife. Let's back up for a second. Look at verse 9. It says, Boaz said to the elders, follow along with me, and to all the people. What people? He's got 10 witnesses there. He's got this guy that he's redeeming it from. There's 12 people total. Once the deal's coming together, Boaz says, okay, that's it. Hey, you 10 guys, are you listening? Yeah, we're here. We're here. We're listening. Are you listening, Mr. So-and-so, whatever your name is? He says, according to verse 9, Boaz says to the elders, that's 10, and to all the people, attention, please. Attention. I have an announcement. He's announcing it to everybody. What does he say? Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I've acquired. Now that sounds kind of cold, huh? I've acquired. The word means I've brought her alongside. It's to put his arm around her and bring her to his side. I have acquired her. It doesn't mean that, well, I've chucked up another one. Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I've put under my soul. I've acquired as a cleaning woman. No, that's not what he says. He says, I've brought her to my side. And listen, when he brings her to his side, is what he's announcing. He is, guys, are you ready? He's exalting her. He's saying, I've brought her to me. All of the land, that's fine. But I, all people, listen, I have taken Ruth, I've brought her to my side, and in bringing her to his side, what's suggested here is that he's lifting her up out of poverty, up from her former nationality, and out of her widowness and singleness. I've acquired her. Listen, ladies, that's really good. Biblically, you want a man to acquire you biblically, not own you the way the world would have it. Oh, yes, the word acquire her means to own. But listen, if you know a Boaz, you would be glad to be owned by him. It'd be the joy of your heart. Can you imagine? Oh, so you're the one that Boaz acquired. Yeah. I mean, he announced it to everybody. He said that he acquired you. He sure did. The whole thing's based upon love. I've acquired her as my wife. Number one, to raise up a name of the dead on his inheritance. That is, as soon as Ruth became pregnant and bared forth a son, his name was to be given in the name of Mahlon and his property. You see? And sure, fine. The second son that would be born maybe would have been Boaz Jr. By the way, they don't do that there. They don't name people juniors or the second or the third. They name them after their fathers. It's really neat. So I love what he says here, though. The first thing is, he doesn't say, well, I've gone through this transaction so I can raise up on behalf of the dead the name and the inheritance. No, he says he puts the first thing first that's on his heart. It jumps right off his heart, out of his mouth. I've got Ruth now. She's my honey. And oh yeah, it's true that the offspring that comes from us will raise that child up in the name of his deceased, or what would have been his deceased father's name. Sure. That the name of the dead may not be cut off from among the brethren or the gate of his place, and you are witnesses to this day. And all the people who were at the gate and all of the elders said, we're witnesses. They would have said, amen, it's true. So Boaz is about ready to walk away with all the property, with an extra shoe in his hand, and Ruth. Wow. all with a shoe. John the Baptist, when he was preaching, all Israel came out to see him and to hear him. And what did John the Baptist say? He says, listen, I'm baptizing you with water. It's nothing. There is one coming after me whose what? Sandals, whose shoes. I am not even worthy to unloose. What was John saying? John is saying, I'm just a mere little servant of one who is coming, who I could never dare take his shoe off. His shoe will never come off. Why? He's the owner of the sky and of the earth and all that there is. He can't take his shoe off. He owns it all. I am John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets that bridged the old between the new, and I point to the Messiah who's coming. Yes, I will say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, but I'm not even worthy to unloose his sandal strap because no man is. He alone owns the earth and the heavens. Do you get it? Or am I just too, have I been up too long? Do you see the significance? John couldn't take Jesus' shoes off. Because whoever takes the shoe off forfeits the right to redeem. John says, I dare not take his sandals off. He alone's the Redeemer. You see the beautiful picture in this? Every Jew would have went, wow, the one you're speaking about is the ultimate Redeemer? Every Jew in the audience knew this. All the Roman Gentiles, and we would have been scratching the head going, what's he yapping about? Remember when Jesus threw or told the disciples to throw their net on the other side of the boat and they caught the fish? How many fish did they catch? 153. Oh man, when they said this on the trip, I got goosebumps. You know why there were 153, not 152 and not 154? 153. They pulled up 153 fish. And the net was almost breaking, remember? Well, guess how many types of fish live in the Sea of Galilee? 153 different types of fish. When Jesus told them to throw the net into the water, the reason why they freaked out was not because of 153 fish. Big deal. That's no big deal. The big deal was it was one of each type of fish. Meaning, when God does some fishing, he's not going to leave any Jew or Gentile out if you're born in Russia or Bangkok or Mexico City. Do you see that? That's why they went, wow. Well, we've got one of these. We've got one of these. 153 fish. That's why you see the gospel records the amount of them. They noticed every one of them were different fish. Hey, let's count them. 153. It wasn't until recently they found out that there's 153 individual species of fish in the Galilee. Isn't that awesome? Redemption? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm outside God's ability to redeem. No, you're not. Oh, I've sinned so bad he can never forgive me. Don't flatter yourself. You're not that big of a sinner. I've raped, pillaged, and killed thousands. Then repent and get forgiven and be white as snow. I can never forgive myself. Well, you know what? Maybe you won't forgive yourself. But why prevent yourself from coming to the one who forgives you? He'll write your name down in his eternal book, not you yourself. Oh, I've done such terrible things. I know you have. But listen, stop thinking like that. And if you're really the big sinner you think you are, if you've committed these horrible things, Jesus says, hot dog or kosher dog. The one who is forgiven a lot winds up loving me the more. So what's your excuse? I don't know if he'll forgive me. I don't know if he wants me. Oh, he wants you all right. So all the people said, we're witnesses. And the Lord, listen, here's what they pray. All the people announce a prayer. The Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and like Leah. Why? Well, because the two of these women from them, they built the house of Israel. The 12 tribes came from these two gals. And may you prosper in Paphrathah, little region there in Bethlehem. And may you be famous in Bethlehem. Let me ask you, boy, is Boaz and his Ruth famous in Bethlehem? The answer is yeah, but you know the main reason why is because of baby Jesus. That's the main reason why. Look what it says. May you be famous in Bethlehem. People, this is written thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. You know what? Next year, we've already got our plans. We already have our dates for our trip next year. And we had two buses, and I think we're going to have four buses next time after you guys hear from people what happened. We had the greatest time. Start saving now. It's worth every penny, even losing your luggage coming and going. You know what's awesome about this word? I started to make a joke every time we'd pull up to a site. Okay, it's time to step out because now we're in Jericho. Or now we're in Beth Shean, where they've unearthed all these things, where non-believing archaeologists look through the Bible, find the name of a city, go and dig there, and they find exactly what's in the book. So I would make a joke. Okay, everybody, let's get off the bus. I don't know if we can trust in the Bible. Let's see what happens. Are you kidding? We got to go through the rabbi's tunnel underground and stand opposite to where the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be resting and waiting. Underground. And you're touching stones from Solomon's day. You go below the time of Jesus to the time of Solomon. Stones that he would have said, put this one here, I want this one here. David was alive then, and you're touching the stones, and it's like, I'm having a religious experience. Gee, I don't know if you can trust in the Bible. It's incredible. And right here, may you be famous in Bethlehem. Do you realize if it wasn't for this passage, Bethlehem would blow away and be a zero, because its only source of income is tourism because of what's on your lap right now. Incredible. And may your house be like the house of Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring of which the Lord gave you from this young woman, Ruth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the Old Testament book of Ruth, chapter 4, and verses 7 through 12. It's a presentation called Final Preparations. The Old Testament narrative of Ruth meeting Boaz is truly a beautiful love story, but it's more than that. It's also valuable for many other reasons, which is why it is included in the Old Testament. So we're making available Pastor Jack's series through the book of Ruth on MP3 CD. Our offer is simple. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it your way. Just ask for the Book of Ruth on MP3 CD. To get in touch with us here at Real Radio by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You may also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.